episode 19.
Be super creative. Delaney West.
Delaney West.
Yes. Marketing, branding, creativity.
Yes. I love being creative.
Me too.
I feel creative.
All the time.
It's healthy to be creative. Creativity kills depression.
Absolutely.
Yes, that just came to me. Yeah. What up, Coach?
What's up, Coach?
Olympic breakdancing, dude.
Break it down for me, Coach. I know you got something heavy on.
Yes,
you
I do. Yes, I need to get this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is for the culture. You got to get it off his
heart. This is for the culture.
It's been weighing on him.
You dare not rob the culture like the culture got robbed with the breakdance competition in the Olympics. Come on, Coach.
Thanks.
Rachel Gunn.
It was an embarrassment.
And super embarrassing. And the little details in it makes it worse, because we're hearing that she was on the Olympic committee, her and her husband, and that they basically rigged it to where the minority or the real true artists of the culture were
pushed out and denied opportunity.
Yes.
Which is kind of ironic, because the birth of the breakdancing itself came from people that were
pushed out
and denied. Yeah. Here's an example. I thought about this. We were talking about, remember the movie Beat Street?
Yeah, okay. I remember.
And the guy Ramo was a graffiti artist. He would bomb the train.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy Spit would come and deface his graffiti.
Right.
She was, Reagan was Spit.
Right. That's what she did it on purpose.
Right. Right.
It's almost like she was a plant. She even, and I just told you a few seconds ago, or right before we went live, the latest on this heifer is that she's getting indignant with it now. So she basically went public on social media and said this, and I quote, what other Olympian can say that they shut down an event by themselves? She said, I did that by myself. I shut a single event down by myself.
Well, she's happy with that. That's good for her.
She was like, this is what she said. She was like, my hot and smooth moves shut down a whole entire event.
She's craving attention.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, with the craziness of how things work, she's probably getting paid from all this too.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm thinking she, like, for real. Yeah. She completely,
she's laughing crazy all the way to the bank.
Obliterated the culture, bro.
Right. I agree.
We've seen better breakdancers.
Oh man.
I'm a better breakdancer.
First of all, the music that they chose,
horrible.
I'm like, is that horrible breakdancing music?
And even the guys on the male side that won,
right,
he wouldn't even compare to the real breakdancer.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No,
right.
Dude, come on.
Yeah.
How anybody else win other than the USA? Breakdancing.
I don't know how they're going to have breakdancing, because it was primarily, I guess, American, and maybe, I guess, Paris or
and why England, was it in maybe California? Why they based the thing in California, not in New York?
Right. Yeah.
That's
what are they going to have, like, swing neck in the Olympics? Line dancing?
Give us our theme music, man. Oh, I'm going to go with this one.
Oh, we got some new theme music?
Yes.
Stomping up hard.
Uh-huh. Hey, welcome to On and Off the Field, sports podcasting with a purpose. You got your On the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation since 1976.
You got your Off the Field coach, a.k.a. Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach Rebeck, a.k.a. Yoda since 1968.
Yoda.
Yoda.
Infamous. Yep. Yoda.
What up, Coach?
Coach, what's going on?
Listen, man. Episode 19.
Yes.
I had to get that off my chest about the that was bad for the coach, dude.
It was. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
She looked like she was doing some sort of like convulsions. You know, she was at a party drunk.
She looked like she was trying to mop the floor with her body. You know how you're
yeah.
It was awful. It was horrible.
I looked at and it's not necessarily that she's white. It's just that she didn't have any sort of rhythm or anything connected to breakdancing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
She was just out there clowning.
It was not enough seasoned chickens in the competition.
They should have had more representation from the city, New York.
Not enough seasoned chickens.
Yeah. Especially, it's your first Olympic event.
So you blew it.
Coming into the Olympics. You should have had crazy legs.
All of them.
All those
the
guys.
The Rocksteady crew.
Just standing there.
The Rocksteady crew.
Just being to bring in, you know, some realism to the sport.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It was crazy.
If not making them judges.
They felt on that one.
Yeah, they felt. Class clown segment.
Class clown. Let's laugh, brother.
All right. I need you after that. You know what I'm saying? All right. What you call a fat Cajun who lie all the time?
What?
A jumbo liar. That's good. I like that.
Okay. Two mice are chewing on a film roll when one looks at the other and says, "I like the book better."
All right. That's a good one.
This is for you.
Oh, I know, right? I didn't read these again on purpose, y'all. So, how did Yoda get his first lead?
How?
He used the sales force. That's good. I like that.
What's a marketer's favorite drink? Brand D.
I don't get that one, Coach.
Brand.
Okay. Brand E. Okay. I got you. That one's good. That one's good. Why did the content marketer refuse to work on Sundays?
Why?
Because they needed a day to rebrand themselves. That was good.
Why did the marketer dump her boyfriend?
Why?
Lack of engagement.
That's good. I like that. Class concept.
Mary's Nuggets fun facts.
Yes. I like these, too.
Okay. So in 1921, advertising manager Sam Gale of General Mills created the fictional spokeswoman Betty Crocker.
Okay.
So that the correspondence to housewives could be sent with her signature. So Betty Crocker didn't even exist. He just made her up.
What?
Yes.
Come on, dude.
To connect with the housewives.
Betty Crocker didn't even exist.
Nope.
And we've been talking about this woman like she's real. Oh, man, bro. Yep.
We've been run amok. Led astray.
All right. Did you know that
if you pour a cap full of Downy in your toilet tank, it will dissolve and provide a sweet aroma in your toilet when you flush?
A cap full of Downy in the toilet. Uh-huh. Nah, dude, I didn't know that.
Now you know.
I'm gonna start taking advantage of this stuff. I'm sitting here, we getting this information out. I gotta benefit from it. Come on.
Things that make you go, When KFC first translated its advertising slogan, "finger licking good," into Chinese, it came out as "eat your fingers off."
How did you find this, bro? How did you find this, dude? Literally, I'm serious. How did you find this, dude? How did you find those? For
research,
real?
Man. Research.
You've been researching.
Researching. Researching.
You've been doing your research. All right.
I think it's time. You know what, ladies and gentlemen?
Yoda moment, baby. Yoda. All right.
Okay. So the theme is marketing, branding, creativity, obviously with Delaney coming up.
Right.
So I searched for something biblically to see if that was in the Bible.
Okay.
And they came up with Matthew 4, verse 24.
Okay.
And so I was confused because some things came up. So I want I just printed it off. So I said, let me just read it and then let you figure it out.
Okay.
The first thing that came up, it says, lastly, Jesus demonstrates the publicity component in Matthew 4, verse 24. Jesus was so successful at his advertising campaign and his giveaway strategy that other people started talking about him and what he had to offer. Notice before the publicity started, Jesus had to advertise and give away. So I'm like, okay, is that in the Bible? I never heard that in the Bible. So this is how I read Matthew 4, 24, and it said, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought him all sick people. And then next one says, and one of the searches said, Jesus traveled all around Galilee and his disciples. He proclaimed the good news that the kingdom of heaven was near. As a promised Messiah, he demonstrated the truthfulness of his teaching by miraculously healing every kind of disease and affliction.
Right.
So the question is, what is the true meaning of Matthew 4, verse 24? And was Jesus marketing and branding his own name, image, and likeness?
No. Okay. First of all, the meaning of it is just what you said. Actually, when Jesus did miracles, he actually told people, he said, don't go tell nobody. So he actually used reverse he actually used it in reverse. Because he would do something for them, he'd be like, don't go tell nobody. Because he said, they say, why? He said, because my time has not yet come. It's not time for me to go public with my brand.
Oh, okay.
So he actually did things that was behind the scenes before he ever went public with his brand.
Ah.
And even though he told some people not to go tell, guess what they did?
They told anybody.
Anyway. So you kind of
word of mouth advertising.
There you go. Mm. So he used that as kind of underground first. He was working underground before he ever went public.
Right.
He had already did things basically, you know, I'm using the jargon, underground. So he was marketing underground before he ever went public with his brand.
Right.
So by the time he went public with his brand, he had enough proof that, hey, he's real. Yep. I told y'all I'm the one.
Right.
So the haters of his brand, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, when they would see proof that his brand was real and that it was growing, mm-hmm. that his following was growing and mm-hmm. that his brand was legit, they tried everything in their power to discredit
him.
His brand and his movement. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to answer your second part of your question, Jesus did not market himself. He said in John chapter 5, he said, I'm showing you the Father. I'm marketing my Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. He said, so I'm not marketing myself. I didn't come in my own name. I came
so
to show you.
So he's marketing the name, image, or likeness of
the Father.
Father.
Right, because he wants us to see the Father.
Facts.
Ooh. Gotcha.
Fact.
Yoda!
Oh, give me some rock and roll.
Yoda!
Shout out to Yoda!
Shout out!
You know what?
That was a really good one. All of them are good, but that was really, really, it goes with what we're doing. That's crazy.
Right.
How it goes with what...
Marketing goes back to the first one. To the first to Jesus. So as you can recall, Delaney, let me read this to you.
Bye-bye.
She's a creativity expert.
Okay.
And so I found this. It says creativity allows us to view and solve problems more openly and with innovation.
Okay.
Creativity opens the mind. A society that has lost touch with its creative side is an imprisoned society.
Wow.
In that generations of people may be closed-minded. It broadens our perspectives.
Wow.
And can help us overcome prejudices.
That is, and let me, you read a line when you said a society that has lost touch with its creative side
is an imprisoned society.
That is heavy.
Think about a ghetto, an area.
Right.
An impoverished area.
Right.
And there's no creativity. There's no art there. There's no.
Wow.
Inspiring no things. No flowers. No park.
Wow.
No grass. How do you feel? How do the people feel? Look, you could tell, look
lost.
At them.
Yeah. Wow. You're right. Wow. Wow.
Let's call Delaney. Right,
let's call Delaney. Let's call her. Should we get on?
Yeah, background, Delaney and I went to high school together. She was the manager on the basketball team I played on.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Delaney West.
How are you?
Good. Welcome to On and Off the Field, Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. You know you got both coaches on here. Welcome.
You gonna keep it spicy today?
Yes. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on. I gotta read your resume off, so if I miss anything, please correct me. Okay.
Okay.
I have to let the world know who you are. You're so important. Anybody that's got this many accomplishments needs to be celebrated.
That's right.
Here's your intro. Delaney West is an accomplished leader with a proven track record in driving innovation, category creation, and brand growth within the luxury, fine arts, sports, beauty, and lifestyle industries. She has worked with companies such as Apple, Best Buy, Walmart, Hobby Lobby, Laura Ashley, Victoria's Secret, TJ Maxx, Marvel, who I love, Harley Davidson, and many more. Delaney has consistently demonstrated her ability to blend creative vision with strategic execution, leading to transformative results for globally recognized brands. In short, she is a marketing and branding guru who specializes in creativity.
Shout out to Delaney West.
I love it.
You big time.
Big time.
Little time.
Let's get into it.
What is your favorite NFL team and why?
Well, I'm an very unserious Giants fan. And I think I got bullied into being a Giants fan. I really don't pay much attention to football, but I'm from New Jersey.
Right.
Shout out to New Jersey.
Okay. So two part then. So who, because you're a runner, do you have a favorite track athlete?
You know, I don't. I really am a fan of the person that doesn't think that they can do it, takes on the sport, and crosses the finish line. Like, that's who I cheer for.
Nice.
Those folks that are in it because they've got trainers, they've got budgets to support them. I mean, they're gonna do fine.
Okay.
But it's the individual person who gets up and gives it a shot. That's who I'm a fan of.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay, let's do this high school segment. All right. What high school teacher made an impact or inspired you?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to say I went to a private school, Immaculate Conception in Montclair. And I went to a career of arts, so I'll say Miss Whitney. That was my biggest influence. Oh. But everybody was so great in our high school. Like, every person made an impact.
Okay.
Some greater than others. But in a small high school, you get that attention because it's not that many, not that many students.
That's right. I was fortunate.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. Why did you choose Hampton, and how did that prepare you for the career you have now?
I applied to two schools in New York and one HBCU. I think it was Pratt, FIT, and of course Hampton. And I think, I come from a family who attended HBCUs, Benedict, Allen, South Carolina State. So that was like, I was going to a school. I think the visit to the campus sealed the deal for me. If you've ever been on Hampton's campus.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there.
Breathtaking.
Yes.
And that was back 30 years ago. Right. It looks completely different than today.
Yes.
But it was the campus, and I don't know. It's something about, I'm a Southern girl by birth, and so it's something about location in Virginia that just felt right for me.
Yeah. I spent like 7 years in Virginia total, and I lived in Hampton. Actually, lived in Hampton, Virginia for a while, over on Parkway Drive, as a matter of fact. yes, I still remember the address. So, yes, I love Hampton, Virginia. Tell us about what it's been like to work with some of the companies that you work with.
Goodness. It was at that time, everything that I was doing was innovative. I mean, because, you think, 25 years ago. Today, everything that's happening with brand collaborations and just everything that we see is commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started, it was kind of uncharted territory. I learned so much working for a smaller company. I worked for some entrepreneurs, three brothers who immigrated to America, and they were investing in the company, pouring money back into the business and back into their employees. And so they allowed me to do anything that I wanted. I at some point had to wear every hat in the company, but I learned so much working with larger brands because they, they had established business models. They had a process and way of doing things.
Right.
So it was, and one of the owners of the company at the time said, this is the best, you don't need an MBA. This is the best training that you'll ever need for your career. And he was partially right.
Okay.
What does it mean to be a creative leader?
Oh, goodness. It is, for me, it's something different for everybody. And there was a survey done a couple of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that said, creativity was a top skill for CEOs. I think they polled all the heads of business, and that was the number one data point that rose to the top. For me, it's not being afraid to take a different route. We get really comfortable in routine. We get really comfortable in doing what worked, what works, because it's uncomfortable to change. It's uncomfortable to potentially be wrong. And so when you're looking for, when you got to accomplish something, you know, is there a better way of doing it? Should we be doing it this way? Why are we doing it this way? Like, to have the ability to question that, that's right. The first point of creativity for me, you know, thinking about solving problems in a different way.
Okay. Mm. Well, how do you nurture that creativity in, like, in your routine, in your daily life? How do you nurture that?
You know, you have to consume everything. You have to have a little bit of interest in everything. Like, if you're narrowly focused on one thing, you know, you don't get inputs from other parts of life. And so, one, being genuinely interested in people. You know, I'm the person that gets in an Uber and I talk your ear off. Because
I would have loved you as a client.
Right.
I want to know about this person. I want to know about what they do, like, because usually everybody, like, I met a National Geographic wildlife photographer who had done all this work in South Africa. Like, I'm like, dude, that's amazing. Had I never shut up that conversation, I would never know.
Never known that.
Facts. Be genuinely interested in people, because if you've got the blinders on, if you can't learn about another human's perspective, what are you going to learn? Why are you here?
Right.
So I think that is number one.
So you work with Marvel, and I got to say this, you work with Marvel. So I guess, is it fair to say that the creative world or industry is like the multiverse?
I'll say yeah, you know what I mean,
because it's so many facets. It's almost like the multiverse,
right?
I think a very wise person recognized what that was. We call them archetypes. You know, in marketing, when you're selling to us, or you want to reach a certain person, you know, there's an archetype. You know, what are they like? What are they about? What do they do? And so I think a very smart person made that, you know, connection.
That's right. All right. This is a Q&A segment. Break things up a little bit. Last thing you added to your wardrobe.
Oh, God. You know what? Why are you going to make me tell on myself?
Was it a pair of shoes?
Nope, because I don't even, you know, actually one of my clients is a shoe company, so I don't need to buy shoes.
Okay.
So I actually am a customer of Rent the Runway. I no longer buy clothes, I rent them. You know, in the age of social media, you can wear it once.
Right.
I can't even think of the last thing I bought, because I, you know, at my age, I don't really need anything. So I rent my professional attire.
Okay. I got to think about renting my attire from now on.
I need to start doing that too. Yeah. That's a good idea. Okay. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
It depends. I'm at that age where I might be up at 3 o'clock in the morning, super productive. I can work on a pretty long schedule, so I might go to bed at 3 o'clock and I'll be up at 8. It really depends on what I'm working on, you know, and when the deadline is.
Right. Understood. What gets you excited about life?
You know what? I'm going to just tell you the real answer. Kindness. Today, it's kindness. Because there's so much vitriol that exists for many different reasons. I mean, we turn on the news and a lot of fear-mongering happening. So I love, at this point, stories of kindness, because I need a balance. Like, I need to know that, you know, we do care about each other as humans. You know, it's not about, you know, sensational stories. So for me, right in this moment, is kindness.
I love that. I love that answer.
I love that too. What is democratization of design?
Oh, goodness. Well, it could be a good and a bad thing. It is now, 30 years ago when I first started, you could only do this thing called creativity if you had gone to the right school and you had gotten the training and you had the software. You know, you knew how to use it. You paid for the software. You had the computer. Today, all those things that we did on our desktop, you can do it in on your phone.
Wow.
And there's countless programs, right? You don't need a designer. You can go on any one of these programs. Like, it happens when you upload a video to one of these social platforms. Everybody can design. there's nobody on earth that can't do something creative. Wow. They've made it so easy for you. And so it's great, but it is also challenging to exist as a creative, because you've got people who call themselves creatives, right? You know, the visual disciplines, artists, designers, graphic designers, industrial designers. And then you have creators. Creators, right? They use these tools. They don't necessarily have the academic training, but they also give it away for free.
Right.
These influencers don't recognize their value, and they will do something for free for the chance of getting visibility. Mm. So, you know, democratization is great because it puts the tools in the hands of people who can do amazing things. But it also, you know, there's a challenge on the value side.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Discuss product design and the challenges and rewards of creative development and team mentorship.
So product design, like if you are someone that likes to achieve a goal, right? Mm-hmm. If you are driven by accomplishing something, product development is for you. Mm. You know, I would like relate running a marathon to building a product, because you are not going to finish the race if you don't put in the training time. I don't give. You could walk it. You might finish it in 7 hours.
Wow, right.
But, you know, a respectable finish time, you are not going to do it unless you put in the training and you are focused.
Wow.
It's months of training. Product development, same thing. You have a fixed date. Mm-hmm. You have an order that you promised to target, right?
Right.
You're
going
to get a couple of mil for that. You damn well make sure that you're going through.
Come on.
Date.
Come on, Delaney.
You started when you said you were going to start. You pushed it through. You ignored these 10 comments over here who wanted to be right to get that pallet on their loading dock.
Right.
And to do that, you got to fight the naysayers. You got to encourage the people that don't believe in themselves. You know, you got to make people think that they're a part of the process. It's all psychopathy, right?
Right.
And so... And the visionary person, the person that's a visionary, can already see the end state. You know, like we talk about Kanye West. I always talk about something he said years ago. Like he's I'm concerned about Kanye, but what made me pay attention to him is something he said years ago. No relation. When his brother said that he could see music, he talked about the ability to see a song, which meant he could see what it looked like, the beginning of the song, you know, the middle and the end. And he drew it.
That's heavy.
And, you know, he has an art background. When he said that, like, that always sticks in my mind.
Wow.
That's the same approach. That's the same thing that I experience when I think about building a product.
That's powerful. Right?
Or in, like, I'm somebody, I can, when I open, like, you know how you order these things online or you order these things and you've got to put it together? I never use the instructions. Instructions are the first thing I throw. Like, I have had the ability to put something together without the instructions. So that gets me excited. Seeing the end state is a goal that I want to get to, and I love the process.
You just inspired me.
I know, just through that. Right, right.
But so, I need my instructions.
So how has AI and impacted this whole process? How do you think artificial intelligence impacts it?
Well, used in a smart way, we are more efficient. Mm-hmm. You know, I think folks are so concerned about being displaced. And if they're concerned about being displaced, they don't need to be doing what they're doing anyway, right? You gotta take these tools and figure out how to implement them in your process because, you know, listen, the Pandora's box is open.
Right.
You know, so figure it out. The good thing for work that's attached to making money, you can't copyright work that are not created by a human, right? That is the one thing that is going to save, and a lot of folks have to understand that, because no company is going to, well, they do, but no large company is going to push something out that they can't get the copyright for. This is still in conversation in the courts at a federal level.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect this. I mean, something changes every week. But for me and for any artist or creative or any marketing person, the advice is learn it, and master it. It's just going to make you faster. It's going to become an expert because it just helps you with iterative process. It just saves some of the slog work that you would have to do. Folks just have to get over it. I'm assuming here, but I feel like everybody on this phone remembers when you had to go to the library to do your research.
Right.
You had to go to the car catalog. To find a book.
Right.
Yeah. Right. How much time, like, we want to know something. What do? We pull out our phones. We get our computers. Like, at what point was Google a threat? Remember Googling it? So we got to get over the threat of AI and put it into action for the things that we
to benefit us.
It's just going to make us quicker, more efficient.
Right.
Facts. All right. Why should student athletes be thinking about branding their image in the new era of the NIL?
This is so funny to me because if they don't, their fans out here on the internet will.
Oh, wow.
I have a good friend. She's passed on. But I was talking with her on how to help her nephews. They have both, I think they were one and number four, number one pick in the NBA draft.
Okay.
Kids out of Florida, you know, family from Oakland, California. But, you know, we watched them grow up. But the problem was their mom was like, they've got all these videos. There's a channel that just has all their videos and they didn't even know all this stuff existed. It was like, how do you wrest control of your own image if you don't even know this stuff exists?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wow. I mean, if you don't know, if you're not in social eco spaces, how do you know? How do you know to book your handle? You know, meaning like newest platform that just popped up, Threads, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The first thing you should do if you are a student athlete or if you're just a human being, go on that new platform, get your handle, right? Even if you don't plan on using it, because guess what? If you are a student athlete, somebody else is going to buy it. Same thing with the URL, website. I know a lot of people that buy, say they have a child that's born, you know, they'll buy the website. Any celebrities that have kids, best believe they've got their legal team on buying up this real estate so you can't swoop in and buy this digital real estate and sell it back to them. So for those reasons, it's about protecting your equity, right? I've bought my name almost everywhere, Bitcoin. We've got so many different digital formats. I go on those platforms, I buy it, just so I book it. It's just about protecting your digital real estate.
Wow.
Digital real estate is more important than physical real estate.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's true.
You're right.
That's true.
That's wow. All right. So as a student, as an athlete, if you want to develop your own brand, what steps would you take or should they take?
Like what's the first
you need
few things?
To Well, one, because it's the wild, wild west, right? And
right.
I just read something on Threads about someone who's in brand development, very much in my capacity, and a sports agent wanted her to come on his team, right? Mm-hmm. Come on board with his team. He wanted to pay her 20% of his 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Mm.
That's ridiculous because he didn't even understand all the work that goes into brand development. So right now, it's really difficult to zoom into who you should be working with because everybody's assembling. But you want to find yourself a marketing person who has some experience in building brands, maybe someone who's got some PR experience. You may have to assemble a team of people. And don't think that you're going to go to legal counsel and get a lawyer. They're not the answer. Yes, you need legal guidance, but they're not going to be the team that's going to help build you out. You need to approach it as if you are launching a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same approach. Like, what do you look like? What is your tone of voice? What colors are associated with you? When you're photographed, is the angle from below to make you look mighty? Is it from, are you in action? every visual and audio audible communication about who you are. You know, you have to think about yourself in a way that a brand does. Think about Coca-Cola. Like, you already know how Coca-Cola shows up. Now think about McDonald's.
That's
like,
fine.
You are not a person. You are a brand, and you've got to approach it in that way.
That's
fine. You've got to find a professional that understands what that means.
Wow.
Ooh, facts.
You give me some good answers. Like, I'm yes. like,
yeah, that's good stuff.
It's real. It's very inspirational.
That's good stuff. Okay, let me ask you this. How can your business help student athletes with the NIL?
Like, well, you know, you asked me earlier about my experience. I learned, I did a lot of brand licensing. At a point in my career, I didn't know at the time, but we were really preparing for merger and acquisition. And the way that you do that is you align with people, right? Mm-hmm. So we had went out and we had gotten every license you can imagine. NFL, NBA, Harley Davidson, you name it, we had it. And we had a portfolio of products that was amazing. You make it that much better when you apply a brand partnership to it. So at one point, we're just printing money. You know, we're just like, okay, now we've got this family of brands. And so the aspect of, I kind of got off. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
No, did you good? No.
I know I was going somewhere.
How can your business help student athletes?
Okay, so my background in brand development, I learned from Disney, from you name a multi-million, billion-dollar brand. I learned how they monetize their assets. The knowledge that I have from just working with like folks like Hallmark. I went to like the Hallmark archives and like an amazing place, and they just showed me, okay, Walt Disney and the Hallmark brothers. Here are the conversations they had, and here is how they collaborated together to support this this line of business. It blew my mind because everything was centered on human emotion, right? And so you're just selling based on what your customer wants to experience. Everything is experiential. And it is so having my background of understanding how to speak to your customer, understanding how to research the market, understanding how to develop a relationship with your consumer, understanding how to get the information, how to make the thing, how to present the thing. My career has, you know, I started as an artist, as a graphic designer. But when you work for entrepreneurs, you do everything. So right. I quickly moved into all aspects of entrepreneurship because we scouted the market for new ideas, and that's how we grew so fast. Marketing, all aspects of marketing I was involved in. I had to go take acting lessons to learn how to sell to like Walmart and Target. I had to pitch the product. I'm an artist. I don't want any parts of that. Wow. But I had to learn how to sell.
Got right. many hats.
And so, you know, product development, you know, all aspects of how you get something on the, you know, into the manufacturing pipeline. All of that became things that I learned by working with an entrepreneurial company. And when you do that, you're responsible for the nugget of the idea and getting it to the finish line.
That's right.
You make a lot of mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. But you see what the pathway is, and you know how to mitigate your risk. So I'm just blessed to work with so many different brilliant people. And this is globally. I'm American. We like to talk about America. It's great. Right. But you've got genius business folks who are driving business around the world. And I've had a chance to work with some amazing people, learn some amazing skills to get that finish line, and get that product in the customer's hands.
Okay. So let me add to that before we get to the next question. So as a student athlete, the real benefit is not necessarily to go with a company because they have a former athlete or an ex-athlete. The benefit to going with you is because you're the one that's going to use that segue to other companies for these athletes to expand their brand. So it sounds like they need to be contacting you.
Potentially. I may be right for them. when you develop, when you have the brand development experience,
mm-hmm.
You know the pathway, right? You know how to get from A to B. A lot of my work was based on developing the idea of someone who became the face of the brand. Like, you know, I'm on CNN talking about Martha Stewart. You know, she was known for throwing dinner parties. Well, you know, people were inspired by that. And she created a whole catalog of product that you can go to market with. But it was all based on her identity.
Right.
I always talk about, if you are in business, you're selling a widget. You've got a strategy for that widget, and you've got a strategy for your personal brand. But you're very much a part of that business. People buy from people they like.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I have a client who finally stepped into it. She did not want to be in front of the camera. You know, she's got an MBA. She's a surgeon. She created this amazing product. She did not want to be in front of the camera. I said, look, girl, you got an amazing story. Mm-hmm. You need to get in front of the product. So now she stepped out. Guess what? She got the know, like, and trust factor. Mm-hmm. You know, we love what, because we can see her. She's telling her story. So you mm-hmm. are, whether you know it or not, you are your brand.
That's right.
And athletes, I mean, it's all about physicality. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and so it's like marketing what you do, wherever you do it, and marketing all those other nuances that make you that much more interesting. And we want you to win. So we need to know about all those little nuances.
Okay. Right. All right. This is the first and 10 segment. Discuss the Cleveland sports scene. What's it like?
I don't discuss them. One thing I'll say, I used to live two blocks from the stadium when I first moved to Cleveland.
Okay.
So it was beautiful. They got the craziest fan base. When I tell you, they used dog to wake pile. Me up 9 o'clock in the morning. I looked out my window. I said, you know, they got this muni lot situation because they don't have one big parking lot.
Right.
It's wild. You got little parking lots all around the city, and it's wild in the morning.
It's the dog pile.
The dog.
The best thing about that is being able to take a boat to the game. Like, I thought that would fly.
That was
awesome. Wow.
But that's about 2 months of the season. Sorry, 1 month. They are potentially moving the stadium to an area which is going to increase my real estate value.
Oh, wow.
So, that is a problem for this town because they don't want stadium to move because it's going to take, of course, revenue.
Sure, that's true.
But I, you know, had been noticing all these little changes in my town, and I said, something's happening. I'm calling it, that deal was made at some backyard picnic barbecue. I'm pretty sure that mm-hmm. stadium's going to move. And they are just trying to keep it downtown. So that's to the extent of knowing about the Browns. I just pay attention to the business aspects of revenues associated with fans and where the stadium is going to move. So
right.
I do not watch games.
Okay. Which do you prefer as a pet, a dog or a cat?
I'm a dog person. Okay. I grew up with dogs my entire life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right. Who is your favorite author? The book club.
Author.
Yes.
Malcolm Gladwell. Everything he publishes, I buy. You know, okay. Just great lessons and strategy and thought.
Okay. Okay. Blue Bag Music segment. Who is on your playlist when you run?
Misogynistic rap, and I'm not apologetic about it. I'm a rap. I'm a hip hop girl. I'm not a new hip hop girl. I'm a 90s, you know, early 2000s hip hop girl.
Nice.
I'm in it for the wordplay and the beat.
Delaney, did you say misogynistic rap? Did you say that? Would you expound on that, please, ma'am?
I mean, you know, when people say, "Oh, give me your phone, let me plug in your music," I'm like, "Oh, hell no, I'm not." going to spoil my reputation.
give us an example of a song that you listen to. Give me somebody, one that come on and make. You know, when we work out, Coach and I, we listen to our music. If a song comes on, he said, "Coach, did something come on that made you grunt? Get you crunk?" So for you, if you're running, if a certain song comes on that makes you just give you that boost, which song is that?
Oh goodness! Anything that MLB is making like that. If I need to get a pep in my step, I go to that.
Mm.
I like radio friendly rap too, but usually everything that I like
is misogynistic.
You can't play it on the radio without the edit.
And goodness.
I need a TV version.
Okay. All right. Here's a two thumbs up segment. All right. What was your favorite TV show growing up? I got two. It's kind of a two-parter. What was your favorite TV show growing up?
Oh, God. Depending on age. But I'll go with A Different World.
Okay.
I'm
going to
go with A Different World.
There's a show on Netflix, Average Joe, with Deion Cole.
You seen that?
Yeah.
No.
It's good.
I've not seen it.
I'm on episode 4.
Is it worth checking out? Okay. Yeah. I hadn't checked that out yet.
Okay. This is the art segment. If you had to buy tickets to attend, which would it be? The opera, the ballet, or the symphony?
Symphony. I was in the orchestra. I play an instrument.
What do you play?
Violin. I would go to all three, but I would go to the orchestra first because I do go to the orchestra.
Does Cleveland have a symphony?
Yes, they have an outstanding. The Cleveland Orchestra is marked as one of the best in the world.
Okay,
fantastic, phenomenal.
Okay, you got to come down to Mobile and see our symphony with our conductor Scott Speck. We have a good symphony, and they do once a month.
I bet.
Yeah,
I
it's
bet.
Good stuff. It's
okay.
Good stuff.
Health and wealth segment. All right. You mentioned this quote. What are you doing to prevent the engine light from coming on? And what is your exercise regimen? And discuss your running.
I grew up in the South, and I remember conversations about everybody having high blood pressure. I just thought that was crazy as a kid.
Wow.
I just thought that was crazy. And I didn't know what it meant, but everybody was on this medication. I think subconsciously, I've lived my life avoiding, all of that. So I really don't cook or eat fried foods. Anything that you think, like salt, I don't even use salt in my cooking.
Okay.
I don't do sweets. So I have a lifetime. I was like pescatarian for 19 years.
Hmm.
Today I'm eating for my age, which is I've got keep a high metabolism, which is difficult for us as we get older as women. So now I'm doing protein rich everything. I'm so sick of eating because I'm so full. But protein rich diet, making sure that I get enough physical activity and most importantly in Cleveland, vitamin D, getting sun. Folks get seasonal affective disorder here because you don't really get any sun. So soaking the sun up, and doing things that are fun. Like we got a great 100-mile trail here from Cleveland to Akron. I try to hit the trail every weekend. I do more walking than running because I've got some injuries that don't feel so great. So I love to run, but I do more walking, more plyometrics and just things that I can do as I get older, right? And so I'm just focusing on what can you do when you walk out your front door.
Right.
I don't need to go to a gym. I don't need a coach. I don't need a buddy. So that's what I've been focusing on, in the past year.
Okay. Cool. So let me ask you this. What do we as Black people need to be better at?
I think
that's a loaded question, I know.
Let me say,
just give us the short version. I know you can write a book.
No, we're gonna keep it short. I think we need to get better at saying the out loud part quietly, because we've got technology that connects us, but it also reveals our concepts to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals our strategy, our language, right? Mm-hmm. Woke is now something else. Like that used to be, our words used to be our words for a long time, and especially meaning to us.
Yeah.
So I think we need to get better at saying the out loud part quietly. We need to get better at saying, okay, you got to come to the meeting to learn about this. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I wish for us today.
Okay.
We give too much away on because of the social connectivity.
Wow. Okay. This is all about the relationship segment. Describe the importance of developing relationships in your business.
Because people buy from people, not from companies, right?
That's good.
You got a great relationship with somebody. They might go from company to company to company. You got a plant in every place this person goes, right?
Right.
Wow.
So I'm going to show up to a meeting because I like you, not because I got to show up to the meeting, right? So so once we realize that, we're people have to go to work every day, right? Unless they own the business, right? Usually I'm going to work because I need to go to work. Develop the relationship with the person.
Right, right.
That's going to be more beneficial to you over time.
Mm, okay.
So it's kind of on a similar segment, we talk about green flags. Talk about your mentor or mentors that you've had and what they mean to you. And are you a mentor?
Let me tell you, I'm from a southern ecosystem. We don't do a good job at mentorship, you know, because we historically it's a, you got to earn your own, and that we could talk hours about why that is.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Because we never saw it happening in our community. It was just, you got to see it to do it. My mentors were the people in my family that were about their business, and they didn't necessarily hold my hand and say, you have to do X. I learned by watching them. I learned by sitting at the feet of conversations of my grandmother and all her friends. Mm. I learned some life lessons, right? So we're not great mentors because we don't always have the opportunity to be in spaces. Like you talk about professional mentors. Who can tell you how to do the thing if they were never given access to the thing? That's
right.
Problem number one. We're the first in a lot of places because we don't have a sponsor to get us in. Right. So
that's right.
I realize that. So I do try to mentor folks, our folks, really anybody who is underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
If I can help give you amplify your voice, I do it because I recognize the deficiency and I feel responsible for doing my part.
Okay.
All right.
This is a quote of the day.
This is something from you.
Yeah, fear can paralyze, but action liberates. Sometimes you got to take the leap, whether you're ready or not. It may soar or it may fall flat. But either way, that's how you live, learn, and grow, end quote.
Yeah, it's kind of what I said earlier, too. You got to be okay with making a mistake, too, because if you, you ever heard of the analysis paralysis.
Yes.
Right. You can sit there and think about the thing and how you're going to make it right and never make a move.
Wow.
But
thanks.
You know, be willing to push it out. Be willing to try, and know that the thing is going to be that much better as you improve it. You have a chance to get it right. Like you have a chance to improve it. Like folks don't think, I push it out there, I'm going to fail. No, he's going to learn so much. You're going to either succeed, you're going to need to do better, or you might fail. But you're going to get the tools to do it better the next time.
Okay.
That's right. That's right.
All right, so Dylan, here's what we call the final drive sports
jeopardy.
We're
going to get crunk.
We're going to hit you with some real quick ones, okay?
Okay.
So hang in there. Some of them may be weird.
This is called coming out of the tunnel. And it started by we were asking my dad about how does it feel coming out the tunnel before a football game.
Right.
So we kind of have changed it around a little bit. Describe how you feel prior to a presentation to an important client. Like what's going on in your mind?
Adrenaline rush.
Oh goodness! Making sure that I make eye contact. Making sure that I'm paying attention to the energy that they have at that moment because I need to engage. I need to get them on the hook.
Mm.
I need to engage them fully and thoroughly.
All right. So
I'm thinking about engagement.
engagement.
Okay. This embarrassing moment, you got to describe a presentation or a meeting that didn't go quite well.
Oh my God. That's a difficult one. A presentation or a meeting that didn't go that well.
Embarrassing moment.
Embarrassing moment.
Yes.
I cannot think of one.
I'll tell you one. I once did a presentation in front of this high school and the computer froze. And the heat was hot in that gym. I started to sweat.
Oh wow.
It was about like 500 kids and looking at this sweating black man trying to fix this computer. That was embarrassing to me. But let's tell you, this is called Travel Through Your Eyes. Take us somewhere you visited that was not so nice and that you don't want to go back.
Oh God, I was on a business trip and we were in mainland China, and there probably wasn't the internet at the time, and we were in the worst hotel. I mean, the worst hotel. And I was so concerned that I slept with my clothes on. Like, I would not even take my clothes off to, like, get ready to go to bed. I was just so unsettled. Like,
that's where COVID started, right?
No, it was way before that. Mm. But that's probably the most uncomfortable that I've ever been. If you can't refresh yourself after a stressful day of traveling and having business conversations, that's the worst feeling.
Right.
You need to at least relax and refresh and recharge.
Okay, this is our red flag segment. What are some red flags in your business?
That hotel.
That was one. Red flags in your business?
Oh, when folks want to ask a ton of questions, because people now will take a meeting with you to learn. Free consulting hours. Like, no, we don't do free consulting hours.
Right.
You know, you got to pay for this initial consultation. It is a thing. You know, if you're not willing to pay for the time, then you are here to collect information.
Wow. That's facts.
That's facts. Okay. Where were you on 9/11?
Oh, my God. I was at work, and the innovation was at that time was, now you can watch news on computer. Like, that was the hot thing. Mm-hmm. So we were crowded around a computer like, wow, a news helicopter crashed into one of the towers. That's what we thought. Does that work?
Wow.
Walk outside and see the smoke.
Wow. Okay. This is a Would You Rather segment. Would you rather go back in time and fix all of your mistakes, or would you rather have $10 million in your hand?
Give me the 10 mil.
Yeah, I'll take the 10
mil.
I'll take the 10 mil.
I like my mistakes.
That's a good answer.
Okay, so this is a game segment. So I'm going to describe the slogan, and you have to tell me the company. Okay?
Okay.
All right, this will be easy.
Yeah.
Just Do It.
Nike.
Breakfast of Champions.
Wheaties.
The Few. The Proud, the Marines. Oh, but that's...
You gave it up.
Yeah. You
should have stopped at The Few, The Proud.
Yeah, right. What happens here stays here.
Vegas.
All right. Yeah, you did that right.
Tongue twister segment. All right. So I hate to do this to you, Melanie. I don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to get you to say it. And I think you're supposed to say it in a Caribbean accent.
Yeah, in a
So let me do it first. I'm not going to do it in a Caribbean accent because I can't. And I won't. My Caribbean is not sexy. All right? So here we go. I'm going to do it. So it's one smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellow felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart. And they all felt smart together.
See. You're not unless I'm reading it. Like, I can't say the first one again.
One smart fellow felt smart.
Uh huh.
Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart, and they all felt smart together.
Okay, I'm going to try. One smart fellow felt smart. I can do it. I can't do it. One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Y'all are so silly.
Oh, my goodness. The Caribbean accent did me in.
That was kind of like,
oh my goodness.
All right, comics and cartoon. What was your favorite cartoon growing up?
That is hard, man, because everything was favorite. Shoot, dang. I'm going to say Tom and Jerry, because okay. Tom and Jerry was wicked.
That's a really good one. I like Tom and Jerry. All right, edible, eatable, eats segment. Which Cleveland restaurant is your favorite restaurant to go to?
That's a hard ass question too. Mm-hmm. There's so many, but I go to L'Albatross. It's a French restaurant near the art museum. Amazing, my favorite hands down.
Okay, all right. What if you were elected president? What would be the first thing you do?
First of all, I don't want that job. I do not want that job.
That's about the most honest answer we heard.
Right. So, right.
the first thing I would do, God, I would really try and get our global standing together. Like, it is a mess. Where we've been, I think, is a domino effect for where we are globally today. Wow. You know, it's just we as a leader have not presented a good model, and it's bedlam everywhere. Hmm. So I would be more focused on global standing and global leadership.
What if Iron Man was Iron Woman? Who would play this female version superhero?
Oh God, great fucking question. I would say Miss Bassett, because she's a boss of everything.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. She could come in and do it. And I kind of compare it to Vanessa Williams taking on, Anna Wintour, Devil Wears Prada.
Right.
You know, totally owning the entire storyline, with gravitas and all that other things.
Who would be a good one, in my opinion? Good. Female Iron Woman, uh-huh. Halle Berry.
Halle Berry?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think?
Nah.
You don't think?
I heard, she didn't have the gravitas. Like,
okay,
she's Bassett is strong.
Bassett is strong, yeah.
She's an ingenue, yeah.
Yeah, wow. Okay, I like that. All right, versus segment. LeBron versus Jordan. Who you got?
Who's the GOAT? Jordan. Okay.
Facts. Thank you.
Thank you.
You need to tell everybody else something wrong with them mentally. Yes. I like LeBron too, but Jordan is the GOAT.
Pet peeves. What is your pet peeve?
Oh, goodness. Pet peeves. Folks that like to talk about folks. Listen, why? Come on.
Small-minded. Small-minded.
Don't bring it to me.
I like that. Okay, here's a truth or dare segment. Which one are you going to choose? Truth or dare?
Dare.
Okay, you have to scream Merry Christmas, like a big, jolly Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa.
I like the fact that you took the dare. Didn't even know what it was. Shout out to you, Delaney.
All right, this is the last ones. We got this called Trivia Pursuit. I'm just going to ask you some questions. Which of these is not a famous brand slogan? A, just do it. B, because you're worth it. Or C, hot dang.
I'm going to say this is hard. I'm
going to
say because you're worth it.
No, C. Hot dang.
Yes.
Really, C? I was giving y'all some points because I thought it might be a brand local
just out. No.
That I totally missed. Oh, dang.
Look, let me ask you this. What iconic global brand has featured all of the following slogans over various time frames in various countries? Here they go. Thirst knows no season. Pure as sunlight. Passport to refreshment. Life tastes good. It's the real thing.
It has to be Coca-Cola.
You're right.
That's right.
You
are
correct.
Okay. Dora the Explorer and former Houston Rockets center Dikembe Mutombo and Salt and Pepper have all been a part of ad campaigns for what insurance company?
Oh, I know it. I cannot think
of
crap.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Come on, Devin.
Got a little lizard.
Geico.
All right, we'll give it to you. All right, here's another one. In 2019, what NBA team's home court changed its name from Quicken Loans Arena to the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in recognition of Quicken's signature online product?
Are you fucking me? That's like... Cavaliers, right?
Right. Yes.
She said, are you?
Why are you asking me this question?
Coach got me asking.
Okay. Who first intended to sell his denim material to the miners who were searching for gold in 1850 in order to make tents and covers for their wagons?
Oh, Levi?
Yes.
Levi Strauss.
Wow.
That's right.
That
All right.
was a total guess. And I did not know that, but I just put the timing together. Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay, okay. Which toothpaste company faced a significant obstacle marketing toothpaste in Spanish-speaking countries because the name of this toothpaste translates into the command, go hang yourself?
Oh, my God. It has to be, Colgate?
Yes, you got it. Wow. Yes. That was fire.
Fire.
Delaney West, ladies and gentlemen.
Delaney, thank you so much.
I call you Delaney. Delaney.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Delaney.
Oh, you got your name wrong.
Okay.
I did. I got her name wrong. And I've been saying it right the whole time.
I blame my parents. They couldn't name me Melanie.
So listen, is there something you want to tell the people? Anything you want the world to know that you want to say? Anything you want to get off your chest?
Oh, no. I just think go vote. Whatever you do, go vote. Make a decision. Please. That's the only thing I'm focused on right now.
Okay. Well, what can the people find you on social media? Any kind of social media you want to give out?
My name, Delaney, like Melanie with a D, Delaney West. Threads is hot right now. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, any network, I'm there. Or Be Super Creative. Hello, Delaney, or Delaney West.
And we're gonna have those links on our website too when we post the episode. So when you see her face, fantastic. You'll be able to. It'll be linked right there.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Miss Delaney West. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being on.
I see lions kids. In the house.
This is so much fun. I like rowdy fun.
Yes, good. I love that. We like that. We love Delaney West.
Yes.
Thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Absolutely.
All right. You take care.
Take care now.
Bye-bye. That was good.
Fire.
That was good.
I learned so much, man.
She was very inspirational.
Yes.
Very inspirational.
When we post, the quote we use is, come listen, laugh,
and learn.
And be inspired.
And be inspired, yes.
Yeah.
And that was all of that.
That was all of that.
We listened, we learned, we laughed, and we were inspired.
And I was inspired.
Definitely inspired. Yes. Like marketing, that's...
She things helps. That you don't even think about.
And that helps me with my own brand.
Absolutely.
Like with You Better Live brand, like with everything, even with our podcast, how we can
Absolutely. Be
creative. Like I said, I was feeling creative.
Right.
Man, that was good.
She's good, man.
Episode 19, Coach.
That's it. Episode 19.
It's been the On and Off the Field podcast, sports podcasting with a purpose.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Still a Nation since 1976.
And this is your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach Reback.
And don't forget to like us on, follow us on Facebook and on your favorite platforms. You can listen to us on Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and X, formerly known as Twitter, and our, of course, our website, On and Off Duffield with a DA.com.
And we out.
Peace.